are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On NBA Network. I am Jeff Garcia with Ken's 5 San Antonio, your host for today. Hope you had a great Easter weekend, Easter Sunday. Got to spend a lot of time with the family. I am still my family's reigning egg toss champion. Yes, undefeated again. But again, hopefully you had a great time with the family. What are we talking about today? Well, look, it's full off-season mode. So, you know, the news is going to be coming in very slowly. As you know, NBA playoffs are coming on right now, so a lot of attention to that. But it's time to bring in the fan voice, to talk about the end of the season, the play-in loss, and something I want to ask about the current playoffs right now and the Spurs. How would they have fit in? Representing the fan base today on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs, he is back, everybody. He is Zach Escamilla, longtime Spurs fan. Zach, how are you doing? How was your Easter? How you been?
Hey, man, doing well. Always a pleasure to be on. Easter was casual. You know, it was my daughter's first Easter.
Hey.
So, you know, it was fun. You know, the bunny gave her lots of, you know, toys that are appropriate for a six-month-old. And my son got a lot of Ninja Turtle stuff, so he was excited.
Approved. Did you do like an egg hunt and everything for your family?
Man, you know, we just kept it really low key. You know, the kids were playing inside. We had a ton of food. Watched some movies. You know, we didn't really do any of the typical outdoor stuff. It was really low key.
I am still my family's reigning egg toss champion. I am still there.
Did you brag about it?
I sure did. I didn't get a prize, though, even though everybody else got prizes. My family, we go to a park, like this huge park near the north side of San Antonio. Yes, everybody, I do get out of the south side every once in a while. On the north side, and we play egg toss. We do kickball. We got that, what do you call that? We throw like the bean bags, cornhole stuff going on. Toss the football, the piñata, everything. So it was a good time, man. I'm actually sore today. From all the running and moving around, Zach, I don't remember the last time I sprinted until yesterday. Yesterday was the first time I sprinted in a long time.
So, Come on, Jeff. I know you go to the gym, man.
But there's a difference going to the gym just to maintain shape than there's actually using it, you know, actually in action. So all I kept on thinking of was don't pull a hammy, don't pull a hamstring. Although I kept on kicking the ball for kickball high in the air. So I got everybody like too easy out. So I didn't do my team any justice. So. That sucked. But hey, Zach, we're glad to have you back representing the fan base. Zach, you know how this works. You are the voice of the fans for today. And of course, you get to interject your personal opinions. And let's get it going. Let's start off with the end of the season. So the end of the season is here. And the Spurs are going to be looking at the offseason. Well, that'll be for another topic on Locked On Spurs. But what did you think about the end of the season? So post-All-Star break, it looked like the team finally was getting the groove. They had a kind of a win streak there, you know, got into the play-in. We'll discuss the play-in in a bit. But how did fans feel about the end of the season? It looked like there were some positive strides for their future.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely some positive. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, even though I would argue it would be easy to go down that road because it's the same result as the past 2 years, you know, playing with an L game one. Yeah. So that's just the facts. But yeah, there were.
We'll discuss the playing in a bit, but we're just looking at the end of the season.
Yeah. I mean, you know, on the positive side, you know, Keldon Johnson developed a decent 3-point shot. I still think he's a bit of a bull in a china shop, but it is nice to, you know, see one thing develop there. I guess Chip England is earning his paycheck. Outside of that, you know, yeah, Murray had a lot of triple doubles. Looks nice on the stat sheet. I mean, outside of those two things, I really don't have much else.
Well, I mean, you know, I look at the fans and how they reacted at the end of the season, and it sounded, you know, we'll discuss the plan in a few minutes, but it sounded as if the fans were kind of hyped. They really believed that this team could have gotten past New Orleans, maybe could have snuck into the playoffs. Do you think the way the Spurs ended the season was kind of fool's gold? Should Spurs fans have said, you know what, I don't even know if they can get past the Pelicans in the opening round of the play-in?
You know, I don't want to offend anybody because I'm...
You? No.
Well, you know, here's my thing. I understand the folks that were like, hey, let's go for the playoffs. It'll be exciting with the young guys. We should be rooting for the team. I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it. I understand it. You know me, Jeff. I've been pro-tank since the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. I really thought they were going to win maybe 28 to 30 games. They obviously overachieved by a couple. So I'll admit I was wrong there. But to me, to have the same exact outcome as the past two seasons, maybe they'll have the ninth pick. I don't really know who's going to be there that's going to make a difference. But I just think, yeah, it was a little bit of fool's gold. I mean, to answer your question directly, and don't get me wrong. When they got in the play-in, you know, part of me wanted them to win. Like, you know, I'm thinking, hey, this is, you know, somewhat playoff basketball. It's like a Diet Coke, Coke Zero of playoff basketball. But I thought the Spurs had enough on paper to go toe-to-toe with New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really expect them to get punked the way that they did, especially by major J.J. Barea vibes.
From Alvarado.
Alvarado, yeah. And the funny thing is Danny Sanders and I tweeted that exactly at the same time. So I know I wasn't the only one feeling those J.J. Barea vibes from Alvarado. I didn't even know that guy existed. Call me a casual, but I'm just being honest. Mm-hmm. I do think it was a little bit of fool's gold. And, you know, now that the dust is settled, I would have preferred that they, sat Murray and Johnson the last month of the season and, you know, really just embrace that tank. I mean, again, as soon as Pop got the record, it should have been, let's just pull a plug. Mm-hmm. But that's my opinion.
I get the fans, you know, excitement, you know, for the end of the season. You know, oh, the plan's here. We're going to make some noise. The players were definitely talking about making noise. Vassell's even saying we're going to make it to the playoffs. You know, this team is not reflective of its record. It's a playoff-worthy team. But if we look back at that end of the season, Zach, maybe it was fool's gold. I mean, look at the competition they played towards the end of the season. You know, they had a Blazers team twice in their gym, took care of business. There were teams already resting players and minimizing, you know, putting them in bubble wrap. That happened. The bright spot was that it was going into Denver and getting that W. That I get why that probably got a lot of Spurs fans hyped, but it's not like they ever really tested at the end of the season, Zach.
No, they really weren't. And, you know, yeah, you can say on one hand, well, you know, even though the Blazers were sending out Drew Eubanks and company instead of Dame Lillard and company, the Spurs still whooped them. So, you know, you could make the argument that quote-unquote good teams beat bad teams. But sometimes bad teams just beat worse teams, right? it was a very, very strange end of the season because – it's hard to root for your team to lose. Like in the moment watching, you don't want to see them lose. But in my heart of hearts, you know, I did, you know, kind of want to see them lose, if that makes sense. I know that sounds so contrary because you gotta, you know, sometimes you have to lose the battle to win the war. And I just don't think the Spurs, you know, the way they went out, it was just it didn't do much for their future. I mean, my only hope right now, Jeff, and I've said this a million times before, is that Brian Wright has some aces up his sleeve. You know, what is he going to do with these assets, the draft picks, the cap space, current assets? What is he going to do to drastically improve that team? Now, I'm going to say something controversial. I like DeJounte Murray. But if somebody offers you something really nice for him, I know he's a fan favorite. A lot of people love him. And I cannot emphasize enough, this is not me crapping on DeJounte Murray. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying if somebody comes in and offers you something really nice that's going to move the needle, you have to look at it. And I know there are some fans that will disagree with me, and that's fine. But everything needs to be on the table, Jeff. Otherwise, we're going to be looking at the same old thing next year.
We're talking with Zach Escamilla here on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs as he is repping the fan base regarding the end of the season. We're about to talk about the play-in loss and the current playoffs as well. Make sure to stick around. But hey, we're going to talk about Athletic Greens. It is, one of my favorite things to do when I need to lose weight, get more gut health, more energy, and optimize the immune system. Yeah, I started taking AG1 because of those reasons. Tired of taking pill after pill and vitamin after vitamin, supplement after supplement. I just go with AG1. Now, so what is this stuff? It's basically you just take one delicious scoop of AG1, put it into water, mix it up, and you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, fruit, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. It's basically a special blend of ingredients to support your gut health, your nervous system, immune system, recovery, focus, aging, energy, everything that you can think of, all the things. And yeah, look, it tastes good. It fits in well with any lifestyle and it doesn't taste that bad. Trust me, I've been drinking it. All you got to do is simply this. Realize that it is lifestyle friendly. It fits in the paleo diet, the vegan diet, the dairy-free diet, gluten-free diet. Contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, and it still tastes good. AG1 is a small micro habit with big benefits. It's one thing you can do every single day to take great care of yourself. And it's recommended by professional athletes, has over 7,000 five-star reviews. Athletic Greens is a climate-neutral certified company, and for every purchase, they donate to organizations helping to get nutritious food in kids that are in need, including No Kid Hungry here in the United States. Look, reclaim your health. Arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Just one scoop of in water every day. That's it. Don't need to take all those supplements. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you one free year of supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NBA Network. Again, that is athleticgreens/NBA Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily insurance. Once again, athleticgreens.com/NBA Network. And while we're talking about health, let's talk about Built Bar. Look, if you're falling off your New Year's resolutions, get back on it by going to built.com. Stick to the resolution. Eat right. You can thank Built Bar for that. And it's almost not like a resolution because you're going to actually enjoy them. They have this new puff bar. It's basically a protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy. They're marshmallowy. They're not just a protein bar. They're a treat. Covered in 100% chocolate. They're a fan favorite. And even those puffs have other flavors like a churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. They're so good. It's going to be your new favorite. And every single Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Even the puffs, 100% real chocolate. Low calorie, high protein. Replace your candy bars with these. They are better. A typical candy bar can be anywhere from 200 to 300 calories. Go to built.com. Go down the macros chart. You'd be blown away. High protein, low cal, low carb, high fiber, everything you need. Most Built Bars, about 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein. Very, very good for you. Mint brownie, coconut almond, and new for this month, white chocolate cookies and cream. All delicious, all new flavors coming out. Built Bar puts deliciousness first, and then they're all about the taste. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. We are back with Zach Escamilla, representing the entire fan base in this fan episode of Locked On Spurs. We're going to start wrapping up the discussion about the end of the season and what he thinks and the fans think about the play-in loss. Zach, so, you know, the end of the season pretty well, you know, all things considering, you know, getting the play-in, you know, how much did losing DeJounte Murray hurt towards the end of the season? Do you think he would have made a difference perhaps in the play-in game? Let's talk about the way he ended the season. Almost kind of a, like, you know, maybe they were okay without him because they played well with Trey Jones coming in.
Well, they definitely went out with a whimper, and, you know, his performance in that play-in, you can certainly make the argument that it was some questionable officiating. Mm-hmm. You know, but the way I see it is you can't always use that as an excuse. You know, officials are always going to make suspect calls, whether that's in a regular season game or a postseason game. I mean, as long as I've been watching basketball, there's never a game that goes by where I don't look at the officiating and say, how did you miss that? Stevie Wonder could have made a better call, with all due respect to Stevie. You know, there was that report that he was ill. Mm-hmm. And he dropped some pounds, you know, within that 1 to 2 week period. Mm-hmm. I don't know the guy personally. I don't know, you know, what supplements, how he takes care of himself. So it's hard for me to comment on, you know, this quote unquote illness and how it may have affected him in that game. Maybe it did, but I can only go off of what I witnessed with my own two eyes. And, he just did not play well in that play-in game. Would they have been better off without him? No, I think it still would have been an L. I don't know if, you know, Trey Jones playing the majority of that game would have done much. I don't think it would have been a difference. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, heck, if anything, Trey Jones played heavy minutes because Murray was in foul trouble. So I think no matter how you cut it, the only what if, you know, if we were to put a what if scenario is, had he not been ill, would it have been a different outcome? I don't know, maybe, but at the end of the day, sick, not sick, the guy didn't play well, and that was disappointing to see, regardless of any excuses that folks want to make for him. He was pressing, he looked scared. Hell, Keldon looked scared. It was just, to me, that's why, again, I know I said I didn't want to be a Debbie Downer, Jeff, but the body language of the team, man, I just didn't like what I saw in that play-in game.
What do you think the fans would give as far as a grade for the Spurs this past regular season?
You know, the Fiesta colored glasses fans, and this is not me trying to poo-poo on them, but I think they'd probably say, oh, B+, because, you know, young team, they made the playoffs or the play-in, and you know, that's pretty cool, blah, blah, blah. And then you're going to have other fans like me who are going to say, you know, a D or an F, because ultimately it was a missed opportunity. It was a missed opportunity to get into the lottery, to get into the high lottery, to up your chances. And you didn't make the playoffs. You know what, if you want to, you know, yell till you're blue in the face that the play-in is the playoffs, whatever you need to tell yourself to sleep at night, the play-in is not the playoffs. Till you get into that series where it's best of four, that's the playoffs. So for me, I'm going to give an F because it was a missed opportunity to get into the high end of the lottery, and the season just ended on a whimper for me. It was very disappointing.
There you have it. All right, let's talk about the play-in game. You really touched about it. You know, Murray coming up small, KJ coming up small. You know, you look at them as the two guys that are going to have to lead the team. Okay, fine. Murray is sick. Okay, fine. KJ, then up your game. You know, and that didn't happen. He had a little spurt in the second half, but it was just not enough. It was actually Vassell. Vassell was the one keeping the team afloat for most of the game. And if you look at his play throughout the season and then in the playing game, you know, he's kind of been like kind of an unsung hero. Remember early in the season when he called out the team? Remember he put the team on blast and every fan was loving that?
Yeah.
You know, he always seems to be kind of like that third, you know, that strong there. People look at Lonnie and I'm like, well, you know, maybe it's Vassell. So you had the stellar play of Vassell. KJ comes up small. Murray comes up small. Let's start off with Murray because you've already been talking about him. How did fans react to him blaming the refs after the next day when he went to social media saying that, oh, the refs called these non-fouls or taking the stars out of the game? Was that a bad look?
I think it was a bad look because, you know, even if the refs did make some crappy calls, like I said earlier, not to beat a dead horse. That's going to happen in the NBA. It happens every game, every team. So But I understand at the same time, in Murray's defense, playing devil's advocate here, he's a competitor and he wants to win. So I'm sure emotions were really high after the game, and it's easy to allow those emotions to get the best of you. I mean, look at Will Smith. Look what his emotions did to him. So, again, I'm not comparing DeJounte Murray blaming the refs to the slap heard around the world, but the point is, I'll cut him a little bit of slack there, but ultimately, yeah, it wasn't a good look. And I think some fans may have agreed with him and said, yeah, DeJounte, you tell him. Whereas I'm just like, dude, just take the L, use this as motivation to get better and move on.
In the playoffs, it was clear that the Spurs just simply were just still too young. Popovich said afterward, oh, their youth showed. We saw that, you know, that it looked like the bright lights was kind of blinding them. Their first time on a national televised game. They were talking about that ahead of the game versus the Pelicans. It just seemed to me that, you know, obviously this team is just not ready. Do fans understand that? Do fans see, you know, after, you know, the loss to the Pelicans, you know, that maybe the bright lights got to them. Do fans understand that this team is just not ready yet?
I don't know. I mean, you're going to have some fans that see it. Other fans think that we're right on the cusp. You know, there are a lot of people that believe that Keldon Johnson is going to be an all-star. Who knows? Maybe he will be. But in my opinion, we can't just bank on progress every year. We can't just have these young players drafted, stash them away in Austin for three quarters of the season, and then hope that the following year they develop into, you know, Kobe Bryant. And to me, I've just never agreed with that model. And I don't know, Jeff. I wish I had a better response, but it's just really frustrating to see the direction of this team, because I don't know what it is. And I think some fans are, you know, in denial, where others are more realistic. That's just kind of what I see right now.
And that loss to the Pelicans, the play-in, we're you know, we'll get your opinion in a bit, but were fans surprised that they lost the way they lost? Were fans really like, oh my God, what was going on? We banked on this team. You know, they beat the Pelicans in the regular season and the season series. They beat them in their gym twice. Were fans really surprised at the outcome?
Yeah, and the thing is, as much as I've kind of poo-pooed on this segment, I did expect a better showing from the team. I actually expected the Spurs to pull it out. I expected them to lose the next game, but I did expect them to beat the Pelicans. And I think a lot of other fans did too. You know, just kind of working off some of the good juju at the end of the season. But, you know, for me, Jeff, when I look at it in a vacuum, look at this, you know, big picture, I'm looking at the Pelicans roster. I'm looking at a guy like Brandon Ingram, lottery pick, a guy that, when healthy, has been a really nice player. I'm looking at the matchups. Okay, you know, as much as I like, you know, Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, they had the edge at the three position, you know, with Brandon Ingram. And then I look at CJ McCollum. Yeah, as high as we are on, you know, Josh Richardson and, you know, Primo and some of these other guys, if you're going to sit here and tell me that anyone on the Spurs is better than CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram combined, I think you're terribly misguided. So, I mean, even though, yeah, Zion's not playing, heck, we still don't know what Zion's going to be. I mean, right now he looks like a future New Orleans Saint offensive guard. But, you know, and then Valanciunas, I'll argue till I'm blue in the face, he's a better player than Yak. Still can't believe they didn't get him in the Kawhi deal, but I digress. You know, again, looking at their roster, it's kind of sobering to realize, oh, man, they actually are a better team than the Spurs, and they weren't playing with the full deck. And that's very sobering, because then you realize, well, my team isn't as good as I thought they were, and we have a long way to go. That's what I realized.
Worked out with Zach Escamilla here on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs. And when I'm asking him a big question, in just a few seconds, we're getting the Spurs and the current playoff teams that are still having their seasons going on. But before we do that, I want to talk about Bet Online. Look, if you still have a favorite team out in the playoff field, Nuggets, maybe the Grizzlies, what about the Celtics? Well, you want to go to betonline.net. It's your number one source for all betting stats and sports info. Get all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the MLB season. Even got odds on if Popovich is going to be back or not next season. Go to betonline.net right now. It is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. I urge you to go to the website, betonline.net, or just use your mobile device. You got a cell phone in your pocket, and learn more about the trends and action. They got NBA futures, NBA player futures, championship odds. It's all there for every single basketball fan looking to have some fun on the side. You can do that with betonline.net. Once again, BetOnline, it's where the game starts. It's going to wrap up our Spurs fan episode, Locked On Spurs fan episode, that is, with Zach Escamilla. I'll ask you a big question, Zach. We're seeing the first opening games for the NBA playoffs. And you can just tell that every team upped it. They're playing with a different brand of basketball, a lot more physical, a slower pace perhaps, and stars are shining, from Cat, the Ant, to Jason Tatum with the game winner. How far away do you think this current Spurs team is from that? It looks like, it, based on what we're seeing in just the first few games, Zach, and what we saw for an entire 82 season plus one play-in game, it just feels like the Spurs are not even close to being at that level yet.
I agree 100%, Jeff. They are light years away. And here's the thing. They do have some – I'm going to sound like Hollywood Nixon here, but they have some good role players. Spurs do. They have a lot of complementary pieces. They just need to get a player that they can complement. I don't know who that player is, Jeff. I've looked at the free agents available this offseason, and it is slim pickings. It really is. So we all know San Antonio isn't the free agent destination, even when they were contending with Tim Duncan. Aldridge was the anomaly. Jason Kidd was just so close to happening.
Yeah, but his life
pooh-poohed it. And I still lament that. I mean, Jeff, could you imagine had Jason Kidd signed here? I really think the Spurs win. Obviously, they beat Jason Kidd in the Nets in 03, but had he signed here in 04, the Spurs win. At least they go on a five-peat minimum.
Yeah.
They win 04, 05, 06, 07, maybe even 08. So to me, that will always be the biggest what if. And I think Jason Kidd knows that. But the point I'm trying to make is we don't have much here to attract a free agent, because even when we had something attractive, it was never good enough. So that's why I think you see a lot of folks pounding the door to trade some of these guys that have high values. I mean, or at least you would think have a decently high value, because that's the only way we're going to get back to prominence, man. They're going to have to make some moves or pray that the guy they draft in the top 10 this year, or, pick 8 or 9, is that guy. I mean, is it possible? Sure. Likely? Probably not. So, again, Jeff, it's frustrating, because I believe you have some fans here that think we're closer than what we really are. And I know at times, even this year, when I've been on this podcast, I thought, you know what, maybe next year it is going to be a bigger improvement. But right now, maybe I'm just down in the dumps about it. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. But hopefully, Brian Wright shows me something this offseason, and we'll have something exciting to discuss for the 22-23 season.
Yeah, I look at this the playoffs right now. I was like, oh my goodness. I go, I think the Spurs.
You know what the Spurs?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, Jeff, whoa, like they're not there yet at all.
You know what they need to do, or at least make the attempt. I think The Spurs need to throw a huge bag at Kyrie Irving. I think that would be a huge start to getting them back on the right track. They're going to have the money. I don't know what his relationship is like there in Brooklyn, but I think you at least throw money at him. Not saying he's going to be available, but I'm not saying he's going to accept, but they need to at least swing for the fences. And I think out of all the free agents, he's a guy that could make a difference, move the needle.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Kyrie.
If I don't care that he's a flat earther, Jeff. I just want a guy that can go out there and play basketball.
I mean, like, more like
he's a bucket.
Well, he is a bucket, but will he come to a rebuilding situation? That's the thing.
Well, doesn't he want to be the man, though? I mean, this is his chance to be the man, and you never know.
But the Nets are going to want Murray. That's for sure.
But isn't he a free agent, though, Jeff?
Oh, he is. I'm sorry.
You could always pair him with Murray. So you get your defensive guy one of them's going to have to play off guard. Probably Kyrie, I would think. Mm-hmm. But again, we'll see. I just think that would be a step in the right direction to at least throw money at somebody like that. Who knows? He might laugh and turn it down. I don't know. But I think just at least try.
You know, before I let you go here, Zach, do fans understand after seeing how the Spurs played in the play-in versus the current crop of teams that are still left? Do fans see that big gap right there?
Some do, I mean, just, for sure. Yeah,
not absolutely. Necessarily talent. It's clear the Spurs don't have a mega star. They have a budding star, an all-star, with DeJounte, but he's clearly not ready yet for that type of mega star status. They have to see it, right?
I think a lot do. And then I think you have others that they, in their heart of hearts, they know that we're far away, but they're not going to express it. They're not going to be public about that opinion. But I think most realistic fans, they know the Spurs are far off. And it sucks to say it. It's not, I don't get any joy in saying that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is.
He is Zach Escamilla representing the fan base here on the fan episode of Locked On Spurs. But we're done. Oh, no, actually, we're not done talking. What do you think about old Skippy there? Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharpe taking aim at Popovich, man. They really roasted him. He's bad with the media. Bayless said that he was that Popovich was abusive. And then Sharp just went all in and just started laughing at the Spurs, saying, like what you said, like LMA was the only big get they've got in their history. See if that happens again. It was just like roasting Popovich in the Spurs segment there.
Yeah. I mean, look.
That was brutal.
It was brutal, and I know I'll catch some flack for this, but I didn't disagree with Skip or Shannon. And to clarify, the proof is in the pudding, Jeff. You, especially being a media member, I'm sure you've seen some interesting Popovich remarks, as your time as a reporter. But let's call it like we see it here. Pop is not known to be very friendly with most media types. And, a lot of folks looked at his post-game banter as, kind of funny, but when you think about it, these media folks are doing their job. They're supposed to ask questions. Yeah, I know some questions may be kind of silly, but there are times when I believe that certain questions are good questions. I don't know the name of the reporter that asked Pop that question about, possible retirement. And I know Pop came back and said he didn't think that was appropriate. I do agree with Shannon Sharpe in saying that Pop could have expressed that concern a little differently. He could have easily said, right now I'm just focusing on this game and we'll have plenty of time to think about, my future later. And I think that would have been an appropriate answer, but to just say, oh, that's not appropriate. It's like, no, Pop, it is appropriate. You just got the all-time record for wins. You're a five-time champion. You don't have anything left to prove. You're getting older. I think asking about retirement is a perfectly reasonable question. So this whole thing with Popovich and the media, you know, again, it's hard for me to disagree with Skip and Shannon on that because, you know, Pop is a bit of a crabby dude when it comes to talking to reporters. I mean, that's a fact.
What gets me all the time, yeah, or makes me just kind of like chuckle a bit, is how often does Pop say, "It's just basketball. You just put a round ball in a hoop, and that's all you're doing. It's just basketball." So you ask him basketball questions, you get that kind of reaction. That one always gets me. Like, I think you always say it's just basketball. So what's the big deal? But yeah, well, we'll see what happens. You know, his future is definitely going to be a hot topic in the offseason. So are the Spurs offseason plans, the draft, and much, much more. Please be here with us on Locked On Spurs as we keep you up and going during this long, you know, Zach, it's going to be a long offseason. The good thing is that with this draft pick, that's going to be fun as the draft gets closer, but that's still a few months away. So we'll have to wait for that, but we're done talking. We want to hear from you. It is your episode this time. Zach is just trying to represent the fan base as much as he can. But if you disagree with him, agree with him, Zach, how can they talk with you on social media?
You can follow me at GetBackZach, and that's with a Z-A-K. I'm known as the Dadalorian because I am a dad and a big Star Wars fan. See the guy with the Stormtrooper helmet and the nice Avatar. That's me. Follow me. So you like nerdy stuff. You like irrelevant content. You like things that make you just want to scratch your head and think, why? Then I'm the guy you need to follow.
Make sure to do that right now. And by the way, great helmet collection, you know, from the Mando's helmet to the Stormtrooper helmet.
Just got Vader's helmet recently.
Got Vader's helmet. There you see. Really good follow if you're into pop culture, geeky stuff. Make sure to do that right now. Subscribe to Locked On Spurs, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We are on YouTube. The YouTube numbers are getting stronger each and every day. We thank you for that. We also thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. Look, there's a lot of basketball still going on. The playoffs are here. Check out the Locked On NBA Network and see about the teams that are in the playoffs. Or if you want to follow a team that's in the offseason right now, go and subscribe to each and every Locked On NBA podcast. So for Zach Escamilla, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs.